And you may, of course, be seated. Well, several weeks ago, I really, what began for me is just what I intended to be a one sermon from Proverbs has turned into now our fifth Sunday together in the book. And our portion this morning is primarily verses 16 through the end of the chapter. We know that the book of Proverbs is a book about wisdom, but that, while accurate, is kind of incomplete because there's wisdom and its counterpart foolishness about a variety of subjects. And Solomon doesn't just celebrate wisdom, he celebrates wisdom in those subject areas. And one area that Solomon gives considerable attention to is the area of sexual purity. So let's just start with the 500-pound gorilla in the room. Because inevitably, almost everybody who connects Solomon and sexual purity finds it somewhat laughable. He had 700 wives. Those wives are described as princesses. He was married to 700 women who were daughters of some kind of king or local ruler, had some title of nobility. 700 of them. And then he had 300 concubines, which, again, are almost certainly legitimate wives, but wives without a title. They were not princesses. Their daddies were not part of the nobility class. There is no doubt that his wives worked to his undoing. The Bible is very clear about that. That he loved these women, he clave unto them in love, and they turned away his heart. But for all of that, folks, it is not the quantity of wives that he had that posed the biggest problem. It was the quality of those wives. What if they had all been the caliber of David's wife, Abigail? 1 Samuel 25:3. What if he had 1,000 women encouraging him to be faithful to the Lord, to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord? I am not trying in any way to condone Solomon's polygamy. And Deuteronomy 17 cautions kings not to multiply to themselves wives. Nevertheless, folks, polygamy in the Old Testament is not constituted as sexual immorality. It just isn't. We would not support it. I would not support it. I would not condone it. I raised a while back the possible scenario of a New Testament church. I think it's going to happen someday, right? Of a man and his two or three wives walking into an independent Baptist church requesting membership. That's not my point. My point is this, is that to think that Solomon is unable to speak about morality because of his multiple wives is to miss the fact that in the Old Testament, multiple wives were tolerated. They were tolerated, and in fact, plural marriage, as we now call it, was regulated by the law of Moses. And the insistence was not that you have only one wife. The insistence was that every wife be treated equally. Again, not a New Testament endorsement of polygamy. And in fact, folks, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, which was clearly a sin, here's what the Lord said to him: I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave you your master's wives and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, if that had not been enough for you, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. So I'm not trying to promote Solomon's marital habits. And I'm not trying to defend Solomon or what he did. The fact remains, folks, that God used Solomon to write much about the subject matter of sexual purity. Of the topics that Solomon raises under the umbrella of wise and fool, he talks about evil people. He talks about work. We will tackle that one. He talks about the right way to treat people. And he talks extensively about this subject. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 through 22. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 35. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 27. It is not possible in the course of one sermon to deal with everything that Solomon says about the subject matter of sexual purity. But it is something that he addresses extensively, and he talks to his teenage son. There is a pattern of repetition to what he states, and I hope that we can get at that in our time together this morning. So let's begin. Let me give to you what I think are the pertinent principles that Solomon is developing, and we're going to use primarily verses 16 through 22 of chapter 2, but references to the other passages. First of all, Solomon says to his son, do not fall prey for the lie. Do not fall prey for the lie that easy access to willing women is acceptable. Do not fall prey to the lie that easy access to willing women is acceptable. Solomon here is talking about the strange woman. The strange woman. An interesting Hebrew word. That word is used multiple hundreds of times in the Old Testament. And the basic root meaning of the word that is used here is from or side. She is strange in this sense. Not that she is a weirdo, you know that. She is strange in that she is to the side of or out of the realm of legitimate boundaries. There are good reasons why you cannot have her. But there are reasons that she is pursuing you. She is a flatterer. A flatterer is one, biblically, who is very careful in portioning out their words to say just the right thing in the right situation to get the right result. That is what is described in chapter 2, verse 16. That is what is described in chapter 6, verse 24. That is what is described in chapter 7 and verse number 5. All these passages in which Solomon talks to his son about this subject of purity. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips, the speech of a strange woman, drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And if you go to Proverbs 7, don't read it now, but if you go to Proverbs 7, you get her entire pitch. She has something to say. She has an enticement to offer. Does Solomon have a dim view of women? Right? He's got a teenage boy. He's talking to his teenage boy. And he keeps repeating these same ideas. And I would propose to you folks that that is not at all the case. Now, it is certainly true that Solomon does not share our Western ideal of women. In no way does Solomon view them as social, probably even intellectual, possibly even spiritual equals. But I would point out to you that the same man who wrote about the strange woman extensively wrote Proverbs 31. Certainly the greatest celebration of the contribution a woman can make to home and society to be found in the Bible. Neither is Solomon, and by that what I mean really is God, operating under the impression that only men can be sexual predators. And even in our enlightened world, right? It is very easy to think that only men can be sexual predators. I propose to you that what we have here is King Solomon being the realist. He's got a son. The son is a prince. Solomon's kingdom is a very impressive place to be. It is not hard to understand why all kinds of women would be attracted to Rehoboam. Would it? Would it really? I think we would understand that. In our world, here's what I'm getting at, right? Here's what Solomon says to his son. Son, don't fall prey to the lie that just because it's easy to access, it's acceptable. Just because she comes on to you doesn't make it okay. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it okay. Just because women are willingly posting their videos and pictures on the internet for viewing consumption doesn't make it okay. Just because it's readily acceptable, just because it is something that everybody increasingly seems to feel comfortable talking about, their most private, intimate activity to discuss publicly, just because that's the world that you find, Rehoboam, that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it okay. So rather than being a spiritual prude who views women as less than human, Solomon is making a very high moral argument to his son. Just because it's offered doesn't make it right to take it. So Solomon's position is absolutely, positively not even if it's offered to you freely, not even if nobody knows, nobody's going to know. Within the last 2 weeks, to make the window bigger than it actually is, probably in the last week, an independent Baptist pastor committed suicide in a public building after being arrested and accused of sexual immorality. And a prominent pastor of not a Baptist denomination, but a Bible-believing denomination, was just removed from his pulpit because of impropriety with a woman. Everybody kind of operates under the assumption that nobody's ever going to know. Well, what if nobody does know? What if you don't get caught? Solomon says, son, stay away. Stay away. What if no one gets hurt? What if it's completely and totally consensual between adults? Solomon or Rehoboam, stay away. Do not believe for a moment the lie that because it is available, it is acceptable. That's kind of the world we inhabit. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Secondly, Solomon says to his son, do not believe for one second that there is not a high price to pay on earth for doing it. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. I've already read verse number 3. We know the subject matter. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Verse number 8. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Again, it's being offered. It's being offered. You're not the predator. She's making the offer to consenting adults. Verse number 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Exactly what Solomon means here is not completely explained, and some people find in it sexually transmitted diseases. But we're not stupid, folks. We're not stupid. Pursuit of illicit sexual relationships ruins marriages, ruins families, ruins careers. A number of years ago, we had a man in our assembly who had gotten involved with a woman at work, and his boss came to my office to tell me why this man was being terminated. Homes, church memberships, long-standing friendships, marriages, relations with one's children. These are just some of the possible costs that come from a relationship that both parties enter into willingly. Or Proverbs chapter 6 and beginning in verse number 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. How many books do you suppose have been written, the subject matter being recovering from an affair or recovering from adultery? How many marriage counselors do you suppose spend the bulk of their time counseling such couples? Who among us does not know somebody whose life has been completely devastated and turned upside down by this kind of behavior and conduct? Chapter 7 and verse number 22. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through the liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chamber of death. And again, folks, Solomon is not taking a dim view of all women, but he is taking a realistic view of some of them. And he is certainly well aware of the potential of his son to be taken in by that. And he is doing the wisest thing that it is possible to do, warning him ahead of time. Warning him ahead of time. So although it is readily available, consensually available, it is not acceptable. And there is a high price to pay on earth in human relationships There is a wound, there is a reproach, there is an anger, there is a memory that is just not going to go away. The injured parties will remain long injured. Finally, do not believe that there is not a price to pay before God. Back to Proverbs chapter 2. The book of Proverbs is both a practical book, right? We tend to think of it as one of the most practical, helpful books in all the Bible. It is also a book of poetry. And it is helpful to us in the conveyance of imagery. And I say all of that to say this, folks. When the Old Testament, particularly the poetry, talks about hell, it is not always, not often, thinking of eternal burning fire of lake of fire, hell. It's talking about dying, which tended to be the way the Jews, that was kind of their concept, right? How's God going to judge? He's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. Notice Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 18, "For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the paths of good, the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it." This kind of orientation, folks, in Solomon's world, right? Orientation to the land. Right? These are spiritual orientations. The way that we talk about going to heaven. That's a spiritual. I'm not saying that heaven isn't a real place. I'm saying that's an orientation that we have about things. Are you going to heaven? Well, they've passed on and they've gone to heaven. Right? That's a spiritual perspective. And Solomon then, when he's talking about the land, land is something that your relationship on and your existence on is a definition of your relationship to God. What happened to Israel? Centuries of spiritual adultery and fornication resulted in them being kicked out of the land. So Solomon's not off here now at some tangent. I've talked all I need to say about adultery. Now I want to talk about agriculture. But, right? Not only are there very real human relationship dimensions to illicit sexual conduct, there are divine repercussions. There are divine repercussions. And again, folks, even if the people involved are mutually consenting, which is quite honestly one of the biggest driving factors in American morality. If the person can't consent, that's a real problem. But if they can consent, well, back to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 21. Well, let's start in verse number 20. "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." It's just amazing because he's been instructed and he's been instructed and he's been instructed. And just as David's adultery defiled his relationship with God, well, wasn't he forgiven? Of course he was forgiven. Was it ever the same? Was it ever the same? No, never. The baby died. The kingdom wobbled. It's never the same. Forgiveness, folks, is not this magical whiffle dust that makes everything the way it was before the offense. And just as David's adultery defiled his relationship with God, so does anyone else's. The Ten Commandments forbid it. Before it is anything else, before it devastates a home, before it jeopardizes a career, before it ruins a relationship, it is first and foremost a sin. It is a sin. And every single human being labors, or at least ought to labor, under the reality that simply the desire for somebody else's wife is the sin. Jesus doesn't turn down the heat, he just turns it up. And this is not simply an Old Testament dilemma. This is a New Testament dilemma. The New Testament speaks extensively about our own need for sexual purity. What does Solomon say to his young son? Even if it is readily available, it is not acceptable. And there is a price to pay in relationships, and there is a price to pay before the Lord. And so fourthly, Rehoboam, be wise and obey God's instruction. Be wise and obey God's instruction. Proverbs 5:8, remove thy way far from her, come not nigh the door of her house. Chapter 6, verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall keep thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Or Proverbs chapter 7, let's just look at verse number 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Run. Run. Get out of the way. Look at the danger and depart. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Sin against God, sin against yourself, or sin against ourselves. Be wise and obey God's instruction. Run. Run from it. Be like Joseph. Leave your coat on the floor in the haste to get out of trouble. Remain faithful to your wife. Proverbs chapter 15, chapter 5, verse number 15. Remain faithful to your wife. Again, in beautiful Hebrew poetry, verse number 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your wife. Again, let Paul speak. 1 Corinthians 7:2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The internet is no substitute for marriage. The internet is no substitute for marriage. And so, ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to be wise about this. In a promiscuous society, in a civilization that celebrates so many forms of immorality, that pushes, easy access does not make it acceptable. There is a price to pay And wise people listen to God. Christ was pure. Pure. And his kind of purity is the standard to which we are to attain. Let's pray.